Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future. On Tuesday, October 7th, students, local officials and candidates for office, community organizers, and residents from across our region packed into the Apple Shop Theater here in downtown Whitesburg to participate in a public forum. The subject of the evening was possibilities for economic transition in the coalfields, but looking far beyond our own mountains for inspiration and ideas. In the 1970s, Appalachian scholars Helen Lewis and John Gaventa began studying the mining regions of South Wales in the UK. Much like in Appalachia, in the first half of the 20th century, coal mining was the dominant industry for these rural communities. And as in the US, this mining spurred the rapid industrialization of Britain and the greater UK. But the mines in South Wales shut down almost entirely 30 years ago, and mining communities were forced to reinvent their economy. Now, as Central Appalachian coal employment continues to decline, many see it as an opportune time to again look across the ocean for ideas and solidarity. Tom Hansel, an Apple Shop filmmaker and professor at Appalachian State University, has continued this international exchange and is finishing a documentary titled After Coal, Welsh and Appalachian Mining Communities. The film explores the parallels between the two regions and highlights locally based solutions that have been developed in Wales. And on the evening of October 7th, Hansel was joined by two of his Welsh collaborators, Howell Francis, a labor historian and member of parliament for the Aberavon region of Wales, and his wife, Mare Francis, founder of the Dove Workshop, a woman-run education center which is considered an international model for community development. To get the conversation started, Hansel shared a few clips from his film project. Here are the voices of Howell and Mare Francis, as featured in the film.
Communities always change. Industries come and go. And it was foolish of us to think at the end of the 85 strike that it was the end of the world. It was an opportunity for a new beginning.
The Dove Workshop was set up during the miners' strike of 84-85 by a group of women who supported their husbands and thought that they needed to have a place to train so that they could earn some money.
What you struggle with in Appalachia and we struggle here in South Wales, how do we actually control our own destiny? How can we achieve sustainable economic development for the benefit of local communities?
Mare and Howell Francis then took the mic themselves and walked the audience through a series of slides outlining some of the main elements and examples of success in the Welsh transition, including the creation of locally run mining museums, the development of an extensive mountain bike trail, a new wind farm, and access to lifelong learning opportunities. Howell and Mare Francis were then joined by Evan Smith, a staff attorney at the Appalachian Citizens Law Center, and Robin Gabbard, Associate Executive Director for the Foundation for Appalachian Kentucky, based in Perry County. After brief comments, the mic was passed out to the audience for an open Q&A discussion. Letcher County artist Carrie Wells asked the guests from Wales what kind of role small businesses played in their transition.
You cannot have a successful, prosperous business community unless you have skills. There is no doubt about that. So you've got to start with that. You can't start with the culture of miners who said once the industry went, well, we demand that their factories should be arriving here on our doorstep to replace those mines. Well, that's not going to be the case, is it? You know, we live in a global economy, and multinational companies will not do that. So we need to ask the question, well, how do you revive or create a new economy that is, in fact, different? And if you were to ask the present generation in former mining communities, would you want to have the pits reopen? Universally, they would say no. And one generation after another would say, I don't want my son, or in the case, a daughter, go down the mines.
I want to pivot off one thing that Howell says quickly.
Evan Smith of the Appalachian Citizens Law Center.
I think that one of the biggest changes that we have been experiencing in this area and are going to experience even more is for the kids that are graduating high school now, it's no longer an option to get, you know, a good salary from a job in the mines straight out of high school. And I think that that's actually a reality that most of the global economy has faced for a long time. You know, that there's not a lot of places in the world where you can make $75,000 with a high school degree. Now, jobs in the mines are hard. I'm not saying that that is an easy life, but I am saying that it is a way that people have been able to provide for their families without having to invest in as much education as a lot of other people in the national and global economy have had to. And so looking forward, we're going to have to teach our kids that you are going to have to invest in more education, not only just attending school, but also figuring out how to really not just be in a chair, but be engaged while you're there. Because whether if you're going to start a small business, whatever the option is going to be, is going to require creativity and skills.
Appalachian scholar and founding member of the Appalachian Welsh Exchange, Helen Lewis.
One of the things I think we've been misled on is that if we will just get rid of the regulations against health and air and that sort of stuff by the government, the coal industry will rise up again and we will have the coal industry. And I think we just have to recognize that if coal is going and we can have a new industry, we need to look around and see what we've got that we can use. And one would be what are our resources and where's the land? And although the coal industries may be closing, they still own a lot of that land. And I talked with the winery over in Wise recently about them raising all these great grapes and producing great wine and so forth. And he says, we can't get any more land because they will only lease it for a year. And you can't plant an orchard and you can't plant grapes and that sort of stuff. So I think we've got to find a way to get our resources back. One would be the land, and the other would be, you know, we need funds. It's time that we really sought some reclamation, you know, or from the coal companies that have been here, if we can trace back who they were. I mean, what happened with tobacco was that they put a great deal of funds from the tobacco industry into this tobacco commission, which has been able to really give a lot of money for a lot of local stuff. I spent a lot of time working in Wise County in the coal fields. And when I was first came there in 55, there were 100 orchards all over the hurricane and great apple cider and great apples. There's one little orchard there now. So why can't we go back and get our land and do some thinking about new industry and find some ways of getting funding from as reparations for all the destruction that has been done.
As always, I agree with so many things that Helen just mentioned.
Again, Evan Smith.
And, you know, it needs to come from a variety of places, but just to sort of pick out one, you know, there is this federal abandoned mine land fund. And it's, you know, like our future, this fund is complex. But there's about $2.5 billion that's unappropriated that's in this fund that, you know, is meant to be used for the legacy costs that come from, you know, the environmental harms that mine did in this area before it was regulated. And I think it's not hard to drive down the road and to say, oh, look, there's some of those. And so if we could find a way to get some of those funds and put them to use and really be smart about the way we use them. I mean, I think that it's important that we extend our water lines. It's important that we, you know, turn our hills into something that you could grow apple trees on. But while we're doing it, we also want to make sure that we're using local contractors, that we're really figuring out the way that we can make each dollar of that circulate as many times as possible and generate future dollars.
And beyond that, truly encouraging those who have profited from the extractive resources over many, many years to reinvest back into those communities. And that's something we feel very strongly about, encouraging those strong mineral champions and that have made a tremendous amount of wealth from our resources, to think about this community differently. And by community, I mean all of southeastern Kentucky and Appalachia.
That was Robin Gabbard of the Foundation for Appalachian Kentucky. Ray Tucker of Pulaski County gave the final comment from the audience.
Instead of still playing the blame game of who's going to pay, who benefited, I think we really have to appeal back to the national government, just like you all did in Wales, and say all the citizens benefited. Everybody that bought a Toyota got a cheaper Toyota because it was built with cheap energy. Everybody benefited. And so the whole nation has to be part of the reclamation that has to happen. And I think, kind of like the Appalachian land study that happened with who owns the land, I think we need to do an Appalachian land study of what is it going to cost to fix it, and then say, how are we going to do it? And then those will create jobs, fixing it, and then it'll create something going forward with what we can do with our land after it's repaired.
I agree very strongly that that this is a national problem. This is not a regional problem. This is not a local problem. That, you know, we are a part of the United States of America. We fight for this country and when we go to war. And I think that the national government has an obligation to help us get our economy back on its feet. When, you know, military bases move and close, the federal government helps people get jobs. There's a lot of examples of, like, you know, when the timber industry was changing in the Northwest, that the federal government got involved in helping those economies transition. So I think that we're so used in this area to thinking about Washington, D.C. being the problem, and that we are, you know, being besieged by bureaucrats in D.C. But I think that Washington, D.C., and where those representatives from the entire country, the fact that they are there, we have to think of D.C. as part of our solution.
Again, that was Evan Smith of the Appalachian Citizens Law Center. To hear or download the full Mountain Talk on this discussion, you can visit www.wmmt.org. There will be another community conversation on this topic at the Arts and Youth Forum on Tuesday, October 28th at 7 p.m. at the Harlan campus of Southeastern Kentucky Community and Technical College. For WMMT Mountain Community Radio, I'm Sylvia Ryerson.